translation proper by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, the abandonment of the earth's great burden, 18 Akshahinis, has now been effected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna and Bhima. But what is this? There is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty, born of myself, which may be more unbearable burden. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is a wrong theory that due to an increase in population, the world becomes overburdened and therefore there are wars and annihilating processes. The earth is never overburdened. The heaviest mountains and oceans on the face of the earth hold more living entities than there are human beings. And they are not overburdened. If Confucius were taken, what's he called?
Celsius.
Okay. If Celsius were taken, if Celsius were taken of all the living beings on the surface of the earth, certainly it would be found that the number of humans is not even 5% of the total number of living beings. If the birth rate of human beings is increasing, then the birth rate of other living beings is increasing proportionately. The birth rate of the lower animals, beasts, aquatics, birds, etc. is far greater than that of human beings. There are aquatic arrangements, there are adequate arrangements for food for all living beings all over the earth by the order of the Supreme Lord. And He can arrange more and more if there is actually a disproportionate increase of living beings. Therefore, there is no question of an increase in population. There is no question of increase of population causing a burden. The earth became overburdened due to dharma glani or irregular discharge of Lord's desire. The Lord appeared on the earth to curb the increase in miscreants and not the increase of population, as is wrongly put forward by mundane economists. When Lord Krishna appeared, there had been a sufficient increase in miscreants who had violated the desire of the Lord. The material creation is meant for fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and His desire is that conditioned souls who are unfit to enter the kingdom of God have a chance to improve their conditions for entering. The entire process of cosmic arrangement is intended just to give a chance to the conditioned souls to enter the kingdom of God. And there is adequate arrangement for their maintenance by the nature of the Lord. Therefore, although there may be a great increase in population on the surface of the earth, people are exactly in the line with God consciousness and not miscreants. Such a burden on the earth is a source of pleasure for her. There are two kinds of burdens. There is a burden of beast and the burden of love. The burden of beast is unbearable, but the burden of love is a source of pleasure. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti describes the burden of love very practically. He says that the burden of the husband on the young wife, the burden of the child on the lap of the mother, and the burden of the wealth on the businessman, although actually burdens from the viewpoint of heaviness, are a source of pleasure. And in absence of such burdensome objects, one may feel the burden of separation, which is heavier to bear than the actual burden of love. When Lord Krishna referred to the burden of the Yadu dynasty on the earth, he referred to something different than the burden of the beast. The large numbers of family members born of Lord Krishna counted to some millions and were certainly a great increase in the population of the earth. But because all of them were expansions of the Lord Himself by His transcendental planning expansions, they were a source of great pleasure for the earth. When the Lord referred to them in connection with the burden on the earth, He had in mind their immediate disappearance from the earth. All of the members of the family of Lord Krishna were incarnations of different demigods, and they were to disappear from the surface of the earth along with the Lord. When He referred to the unbearable heaviness on the earth in connection with the Vyadu dynasty, He was referring to the burden of their separation. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms this in reference. Oma Gyanti Mandasya Gana Gana Salakaya Chaksur Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapita Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kana Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Sri Guru Sri Utapadakam Nam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunavitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Ladita Vishakvitam Kram Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapcha Kanchana Urangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shabandhu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panja Kapadrubhasya Kripa Sindhu Bevicha Patinam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Srivas Hari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So I'll tell a story in the beginning of the class, a burden of love. So one time Srila Prabhupada, he met someone asked Prabhupada, a rich man asked Prabhupada in Gujarat or somewhere in India, that why are you opening so many temples? There's so many temples out there, why opening other temples? So Prabhupada saw a woman next to him and he asked, who is this woman? And he said, this is my wife. So Prabhupada said, why did you marry her? There's so many women you can be with, why did you marry her? And then Prabhupada said, who is that child? He said, that's my son. So Prabhupada said, you can get so many orphans to adopt as your child. Why do you have to go to the burden of looking after a wife and child? So Prabhupada gave the example saying that in the same way, although so many temples are there, but we are making our own temples to give as a devotion to Krishna. we can see how the burden on the earth is due to mismanagement. Nowadays, what they do is they grow so many the government leaders. They grow so many grains to feed the animals, just to kill the animals for food. And even to do that, it takes so much land. So much land is taken up, and that becomes a burden on the earth. Prabhupada gave the argument that just for a little meat, they have to take up so much land. And then this is like suffering of others. Others suffer for that. If they can give that little meat, then so much food will be there for everybody. There won't be lack of starvation. So the other point is that Prabhupada said in the purport how human beings only consist 5% of the population. The other species are 8 million species. And the human beings are like 400,000, that's only 5%. So, if the other species are maintained without any difficulty, how is it that you don't see animals in starvation, you don't see elephants in starvation or other animals, that they're provided properly by the Krishna's arrangement. And they gave this argument to Prabhupada. India is a place of poverty. So Prabhupada said, so much opulence is there in India. People are following culture, spiritual practices, opulent buildings. Only thing is, because people have taken to the Western way of life, they've given up the spiritual practices and they've taken to the practices which have no spiritual practice, no spiritual understanding behind it. Like Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he comments how the Quran and the Bible, they're not eternal scriptures. They were given at a certain point in time to uplift certain class of people, but they're not eternal scriptures. And one time some devotees, they defeated a Christian priest on the basis of the Bible. Prabhupada told them afterwards, he said, better we use our own scriptures, because their scriptures are always changing. So we can see from this how Prabhupada was more into how the scriptures coming from the acharyas, how we refer to them. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's interesting how when it speaks about Krishna's desire, so Krishna's desire is that when he was present on the earth, he was maintaining cows, brahmanas, devotees, children, women. This was his desire, to protect these innocent people. But we can see the modern day leaders, they go completely against that. They promote abortions, they kill animals, they're meddling with nature's laws, this G4, G5, this. They're doing all this G4, G5 thing. It's affecting the laws of nature, actually. And it's affecting, actually, even the in the ocean, the species on the fish and everything is getting affected by all these things they're inventing. So, in other words, they're interfering with laws of nature, with God's laws. And because of that, we can see the reactions coming in, the laws of nature come. Earthquakes, because of animal killing wars are happening. Prabhupada said in if they should stop the cow killing, then there'll be law of peace in the world. But they won't do that. I read in this book, The Destruction of Modern Civilization, Sahadev Das. He explains how civilizations only last up to 100 years. So this civilization which happened, which is the industry and all this modern technology, it started in 1930s. So according to that book, he says it last, the modern civilization will last to 2030. And so Prabhupada also predicted the same thing. He said modern civilization from 1973, he said it lasts 50 years, everything will fall apart. So we can see how the modern day leaders, they're trying to preserve things in a modern way, you know, like they're trying to cut down on cars. They're trying to invent this electric cars. But I heard even with electric cars, they have to use petrol or electricity, so they have to use. And if those cars burn, if they catch fire, it burns for 3 days. So you can see there's no solution. So the solution is to go back to how Krishna has come to teach us how to live in this world. Agriculture, cow protection, and also the education which they are teaching now in modern society is not anything to do with spiritual advancement. It's based on even the stories they give in schools and like it's all mythology. There's no foundation behind it. Prabhupada said, if the children understand just Mahabharata, then their emotions will be satisfied. Mahabharata satisfies all your emotions. So, I was in a library in Kingsbury and looking at the books, and one of the books it says about the Mahabharata, they say mythology. So you can see how they misguide people by giving these mythology names, like fairy tales. But if we really study the history, we'll find actually the Shastras are realities. They're not just stories. And they give us the way how to go deeper into our spiritual practices and how to elevate our consciousness. I was doing door-to-door one time in London somewhere. I met these Muslims. I was dressed in like this in dhoti, and they came to me and they said, why don't you join our camp? So I gave them the example of the sun, three aspects, sun God, sunshine, and the sun planet. I said, from your point of view, you're worshipping the energy. You have no conception of God as a person. Whereas we understand God as a person, and he has many names. So one of them admitted, he said, your practice, I tried it, is very difficult. Only problem with that is why they find it difficult is because they take wrong association. In order to go into advancing in Krishna consciousness, one has to take the good proper association. And the example is there in so even with devotees, one has to be careful who we associate with. Because then that can lead to unwanted population, unwanted disturbance to others. Bhaktivedanta Thakur, he said in one of his courses, he said, the devotees, whether they're married or single, they benefit the world. The non-devotees, whether they're married or single, they're just dead bodies moving around. So, and another point mentioned here about the Yadu dynasty, Prabhupada was saying in one of his lectures, Yadu dynasty was very powerful, that even they could not stay, Krishna removed them. So people who are trying to stay in this world as a permanent settlement, what chance do they have? They have no chance. Because they are insignificant compared to the Yadu dynasty. And Yadu dynasty was very powerful. Even demigods feared them, you know, like in terms of Jai, Shishi Radha Gokulam, Sitaram, Lakshman, Gwanditai, Ki, Jai. It said that the Yadu dynasty, they brought the assembly hall of Indra to Dwarka. And he said anyone who entered that hall, he would not be affected by birth, death, old age and disease. And he wouldn't be affected by thirst, hunger. He wouldn't be affected by these things. So they were so powerful that they brought this assembly hall of Indra down to the Dwarka. So even they were not allowed to stay, and Krishna took them off before he left the planet. So what chances do normal living entities have who are trying to make permanent settlement here? So Prabhupada says, in one of the lectures, he explains how one may want to be miserable and want to be here. But Prabhupada says, you will not be allowed to stay here because you'll be kicked out. The material world, it's not a place for anyone, it's not a fit place for a gentleman. And Krishna is teaching by arranging birth, death, old age, disease, that in this world you cannot achieve real happiness. So he's teaching the living entities that they should search for eternal happiness. So that's Krishna's mercy on the living entities, to teach them that to be in this material world won't gain you eternal happiness. And so Prabhupada speaks about the burden of love. So he gives an example about, he says that the burden of the husband on the young wife, the burden of the child on the lap of the mother, and the burden of wealth on the businessman, although actually burdensome from the viewpoint of heaviness, are sources of pleasure. And the absence of such burdensome objects, one may feel the burden of separation. So Krishna feels our separation. That's why he comes to the material world. He wants us to come back to Godhead. And the example is given in the third canto of Bhagavatam, how when the material world, when Krishna is going to create it again, or when it's not created at that point, Krishna feels the separation of living entities, like the husband is missing his wife. He feels that kind of separation. So, to reclaim the fallen souls, Krishna creates the material world. And he gives them a chance to become self-realized. And he himself comes. Prabhupada gave a crude example. He said, just like the government is running the country. But if the government want, they can live in the prison house and run the country. But they don't do that. They live in a big place of their own. So Although the prison house is run by the government also, they're overseeing it. So same thing, Krishna doesn't live in the material world, he lives in the spiritual world. Although this is part of his kingdom, but this is the prison house quarters. So Krishna occasionally comes here to reclaim the fallen souls. And he leaves his messages behind, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he leaves the devotees behind. He leaves he sends the acharyas also to guide people on the right way. So Krishna is always present in the material world in four different ways. Mahaprasade Govinde, Nama Brahmana Vaishnava, Sapam Bhadamaraja, Vishwasana Vijayate. So the Mahaprasad, the devotees, the deity form, and the holy name. So these four are present at all times for those who are seeking to come out of the material world. Krishna is present in these four forms to help the jivas connect to him. So in order to lighten the burden of the earth, it's the duty of devotees to actually educate others on the right path. So by educating others, then the burden on the earth will be lightened. So it was mentioned in today's pop in Namamrita how in previous times they used to do animal sacrifices and sadhus used to be able to curse people, they used to die. But because of Kali Yuga, these things have no potency. So the only thing which has the benefit is chant the holy name and educate the masses of people. Give them prasad and educate them through the scriptures. Show them the real life of a devotee, what the real life is. Srila Prabhupada, he made in Hare Krishna Challenge, one of the question answers, he asked one of the persons that if there is a life of eternity, knowledge and bliss, would you accept it? Because the body we have is temporary, is full of ignorance and full of misery. So if someone's offered that life of eternity, knowledge and bliss, he asks his person, would you accept it? And the person said, yeah, if it was there. So Prabhupada gave the point. He said, this is what we are doing in the Hare Krishna temples. We are educating people on that life of eternity, knowledge and bliss. So if you follow the lifestyle which is given, sadhana bhakti, you follow this lifestyle, then you'll attain the eternal knowledge of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Any comments or questions?
In the text, Akshahunis are mentioned. And we also know that there are something like 640 million warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And here we're hearing that all of them more or less died. And Akshahuni's generally calculation is given in the first canto, something just over 200,000 warriors, something like that, or maybe even a little more. But nowhere it adds up. If we put 18 Akshahunis together, nowhere it adds up to 640 million or something like that warriors. I don't know if you or other devotees know if there's any other calculation of Akshahuni.
Well, when Krishna killed, he fought with Jarasandha 18 times. This is in, I read in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, also, Krishna killed 23 Akshahinis. He fought Jarasandha 18 times. This is in connection with Shishupal, with Rukmini. When Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, then Shishupal felt dejected. So then Jarasandha, he pacified Shishupal, saying that I fought with Krishna 18 times, 70 times I lost, the amount of people Krishna killed on the battle of Kurukshetra is less than what he killed before the battle of Kurukshetra. tenth canto is mentioned like that. This is Jarasandha, he's pacifying Shishupal. I had 23 Akshahini soldiers, chariots, but I got defeated, but still I'm not despondent, because one time I'm still carrying on, because one time Krishna cheated Jarasandha, thinking that he had defeated him. I'm not very good at this calculation, but I'm giving you an understanding on the amount what Krishna killed in the battle of Kurukshetra is less than what he killed before the battle of Kurukshetra.
Is puzzling like everything else, I guess. Something 640 million. So only I can think is that was kind of multidimensional affair. This is not just earth, you know. It's insane to say that this is small Kurukshetra field in India, which is like, I don't know, a few square miles or something, can fit so much. So this was something multidimensional, because it's same like as Yudhishthira was king of entire Jambudvipa is not just Bharatavarsha, which is insignificant portion of it. So other entities from other regions are inaccessible to us, from different regions of Jambudvipa, they are involved in the war. So this number as to that, so cannot say anything else. No.
Any other questions, comments? Or Panchatattva?
I just wanted to ask about we do see that some of those animals which don't seem to have their needs provided for, animals which are perhaps due to we hear the narratives that it's due to human activity, these animals, their loss of habitat, loss of, you know, sources of food, etc. So how to understand this from the perspective of Bhagavatam?
This is karma bhumi, you know. This earth planet is karma bhumi, where karma happens. So animals don't take karma, they're just burning off karma, from my understanding. So they're evolving to higher species. Unless they meet a devotee or something, then their karma changes, otherwise they're just burning off to go to higher species. Prabhupada says in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam about evolution, how Darwin's theory is that he just took things out of the scriptures to make his own philosophy, but evolution happens from from the monkeys, the lions, and the cows. So those who come from monkey species, as humans, they in mode of ignorance. Lion species, mode of passion. Cow species, mode of goodness. But animals don't take karma, they're just evolving to higher species. Anyone want to answer?
At the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Jiva Goswami, and he says that Krishna was referring to the Yadu dynasty because there was a burden of separation. I'm just trying to understand that statement. Oh. That he was referring to the burden of separation in reference to the other dynasty. What does that mean?
I don't know. Because
Krishna was planning to leave that very after Kurukshetra. He was planning to leave. So this burden of separation is, we want to take them also. Sorry? Total separation, yeah, total separation. So he was planning to go, so we take them also with him. So.
Also, the other point is, after Krishna had left, if they were staying here, they would have created disturbance on the earth.
Yeah, of course. But the, here is mentioned specifically burden of separation from Yadu dynasty. So he was planning to leave. So one aspect is he want to take them also. And also demigods to resume their positions to manage the affairs of the universe. It was over. Go on.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments? Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.